Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
All right, everybody, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. This week, I am your host, Kate, joined by Captain Cons and our guy, Nick, in the production booth. And Chaps is not among us right now. He is up in the boondoggles of Maine with our former social media manager, Kyle. It kind of feels like we're getting cheated on, right? Like,
no,
whisked away with the former flame of the show.
But so is that cheating? If it's an ex, is it still cheating?
Yes.
But he's not even really an ex. I don't know. I don't look at Kyle as an ex because we still have a group chat that Kyle is very active in. So it's almost like he's still with us in some ways.
I just want to know what they're getting into up there. Because again, this is Chaps' first vacation without his family, like ever. It's just a dudes, guys, being dudes trip. And this is what he sent me this morning. A beautiful picture of the yard. And then he says, there's a museum here you'd like. The Umbrella Cover Museum. Just umbrellas from around the world. Cute patoots. And then he said, it's raining and it's glorious. I already read my main book, so we're going to a small town in New Hampshire today. And I said, this is
the cutest
dude's trip.
They sound like a little old married couple. We're going to a new house in New Hampshire today, and it's going to be delightful.
I don't know if they're going back to their families after this. It sounds like they're starting a whole new life, and it just sounds like you picture dude's trip, and you picture like wild, crazy, whatever, and they're like, we might go antiquing. I don't know.
That's really what it sounds like. I have a buddy who's camping right now out in Utah, and they're building fires and they're hiking and they're doing all this really outdoorsy stuff. Whereas, with Kyle and Chaps, it seems as though they're looking for nifty little niche activities for themselves to do and very quaint and quiet things and nothing really strenuous.
I feel like by the end of the week, they're just going to decide to be homesteaders, and that's where they will live, and that's that. And they're going to be making their own cheese and their own whatever.
An outside chance that Chaps doesn't come back from Maine. He just stays in Maine and sends for his wife and children and says, sends like an old timey Civil War letter. Dear, we've moved on to a new frontier. Yeah. Please meet me in Maine.
I can see him getting very weird out there, living there and going to the boonies. Side note too, the Umbrella Museum. He has always shit on umbrellas and said that you're not a Marine if you carry one, and look at him now. So I just like to call out the slander on that. But we're without
that's Chaps crazy that there's an entire museum dedicated to umbrellas. But I think if you look hard enough, there's entire museums dedicated to all sorts of weird stuff.
Oh, yeah. You can. I mean, anyone can make one, I suppose. But we're going to hit up the rounds. We only have four. We're going to keep it short and sweet. While Chaps is away, we're going to play lazily is what I say. Round number one. It's finally happening. The robots have begun to attack, but you don't have anything to worry about if you don't play chess. So that will never be a concern for me. But in Mother Russia, chess robot checks you, mate. You see, it was a checkmate.
I saw what you did there.
A chess playing robot nearly ripped a little boy's finger off is the quicker way to say that round. Ooh. Round number two, some of our nation's most high speed soldiers are facing a huge problem. They can't find daycare for their kids. And the issue is so dire that even members of Congress are getting involved. Round number three, a terrible story out of Hawaii where a Marine is accused of murdering his spouse on the side of the highway. Did you see anything about that, Cons?
No, not yet.
On military social media, which is its own world, it's been a huge story this past weekend. So we're going to be getting into that. Round number four, space tourism is almost upon us. And so we must warn you, do not whack off up there. People are saying you might get someone pregnant, or you could get pregnant whacking off in space.
Because it's all over the place.
It's flying all over the place. That's a real, could be a real thing. And if you are horny up in space, you're going to want to use Roman. Testosterone is out there affecting a lot of men's fitness and health, from sex drive to muscle and bone mass. For no offense to Cons, thick boys, and no offense to Chaps, skinny ankle boys. You never know what's going on, but men's testosterone starts to deplete with age. So you got to support it early. You got to support your T, Cons. Roman T support is meant to help men maintain their body's natural testosterone production. with the proprietary supplement formulated by Roman's in-house doctors. You got 6 nutrients, including, what are the odds I'm going to pronounce this right? Ashwagandha to support healthy T levels, magnesium, that's muscular health, vitamin D3, fat soluble vitamin that plays a role in bone health and ultimately boner health, some are saying. Zinc, an important trace material that also does shit with your muscles. Sounds good to me. Roman T does support is not testosterone replacement therapy. It's not meant to treat people with testosterone deficiency syndrome. But if you want to get your T flowing, buddy, go to GetRoman.com/ZBT. Get $15 off your first order of Roman T support. That's GetRoman.com/ZBT. GetRoman.com/ZBT. Any big notes from the weekend for you besides getting absolutely bodied by your father-in-law?
Yeah, seriously. So yeah. I was talking to somebody earlier today. I grew up and my dad, not like he was like a, you know, really hard about this,
big
but
Al.
Like, I was always involved in helping around the house and especially with yard work outside. I didn't mind it. I even enjoyed it. And so much so that, you know, I took our lawnmower and would go mow neighbors' yards for money. And that's hard one way that I earned money.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, whatever, you know, unfortunately I didn't live in a household that had an ATM. So I had to earn my own cash, but so I'm not adverse to yard work, but what, you know, from living in a city like Hoboken, I don't have a yard anymore. So the idea that I would do yard work has disappeared. And my parents downsized to a home that doesn't really require help of any sort. So they do it all themselves. So my yard work does not exist, but sure enough, I go to my father-in-law's house. It's 100 degrees outside. And as soon as I sit there on the couch and get comfortable, he says, "Connor, I need you to come outside and help me dig a hole." I was like, "All right, well, I'm not opposed to helping." So I get out there, I'm digging the hole, and he needed help because he couldn't get through the clay of the ground. I guess it was a little too hard for him. So I was doing that. Now, as I'm digging the hole, I'm like, "What's this hole for?" And he said, "Well,
could be for you."
Yeah.
Plot twist. Like, you're about to get murdered. Twist.
How big does this need to be? Oh, yeah. I don't know. But he said, "Oh yeah, you know, Ella's
can you
die
dig
soon.
Out a really huge ass shape right here, Cons? It's don't worry about it."
Yeah.
Sorry.
But he said, "No, Ella's gonna die soon. Ella's one of the family dogs." So that was a little bit. I was digging
are
a grave.
You pre-digging a grave for a dog?
Yes. Yes. I absolutely was.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
The dog is like, still alive.
The dog's still alive, but we don't know when it's going to go. And if it goes 3 hours away, I can't just drive 3 hours to dig a hole. So
Nick,
he's like, I got to be
prepared.
Are
you also shocked by this?
Yeah, I am. I don't think that's something that you ask someone to do.
Just dropped. I've never heard of pre-digging a grave hole for your pet. What?
Sorry. He wants to be prepared. And he
Has
needed to get through the clay.
Has the dog seen it?
No, not yet. She doesn't see much. She her back legs don't work. It's not great. It's kind of sad. Yeah.
Okay. So it's all right.
I mean, how long is it going to take you to dig it that you need to preemptively dig the gravesite?
Well, I think the point is that I'm 3 hours away, so I can't just drive out there to drop of a hat to dig a hole. So
I don't know, man.
Okay. All right. And then you also had to chop up a tree in their yard.
Yeah,
so they really took
Sunday morning and a huge massive tree had fallen in the yard and Alex and I had, well, not Alex so much as me, I had plans when we got back to New Jersey, so we were on like a little tight timeline, and my father-in-law was like, "Well, but I need your help, like you can't leave yet." So finally, you know, we were able to get his friend to come over a little earlier than he had scheduled with his chainsaw. I think using a chainsaw is one of the most enjoyable power tools out there.
Yeah.
Very dangerous, got to be safe, execute, you know, the safety brief, but I got to chop up a big tree. So I hadn't used a chainsaw in many years. Luckily I had that experience. Again, shout out to Big Al helping me learn how to use a chainsaw at a young age. I don't know how responsible that was, but I did. So it was a busy weekend of yard work, but my point being, I actually liked doing yard work. Cause when you're done, you're like, look what I did. You feel accomplished.
See, for officers, it's a luxury to do such
a
thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you've never been right.
Like, look at me
look at me playing enlisted this weekend. Oh, this is fun. It's like a little game. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Love that for you.
How was your weekend?
It was good. Busy time chasing the little guy around on Saturday. We hit the lake. Do you ever see that TikTok? It's like the Kardashians' voice from their show. It's like club, club, another club, mm-hmm. club, club. Mm-hmm. That was me, but it was like playground, farm animals, playground, another farm, because my parents live like out in the boat, so going to look at birthday party, blah, blah, blah. So we were big time socialites down at 55 and up this weekend. Nice. Nothing crazy other than that. But I will say, do you play chess?
Not regularly. I mean, I have in my life, but it never interested me to where I played a lot. And certainly now I don't really have anybody to play chess with. So no, not a lot.
Yeah. Round number one, we're just going to jump right into it. So way back in the day when I was in high school, I actually volunteered at the VA hospital that my high school sat at the bottom of the hill, and at the top of the hill was, it was called the Coatesville VA. It's this huge VA, and they have, and I don't want to call it like an old folks home, but they have like a retirement home there.
Yeah.
And they had this dementia ward. And a couple times a week, this bus would take us up, the volunteers up to the dementia ward or wherever you wanted to volunteer at the VA. It was like a vocational, whatever thing.
Voc rehab, yeah.
And so my thing, I would go to the dementia ward and I would hang out with the olds. And mm-hmm. I would just play games with them in the game room and like whatever. And there was this man named Barney who... I had to introduce myself every time, like multiple times a week. He always forgot. Yeah. He's like, I'm Barney. I'm Kate, blah, blah. But every week, even though he couldn't remember my name, he would whoop my ass in chess. Like just completely whoop my ass.
Isn't that crazy? Like he can't remember your name, but he knows very well how to play chess.
Oh yeah. I mean, he was a Korean War veteran, just a super impressive life, blah, blah, blah. And then just destroyed me every single time. He beat me in checkers, chess, everything. And that was the extent of what I know. Mm-hmm. And then Queen's Gambit got super into that during the COVID, during the quarantine, but that's about the extent of what I have. So this story is fucking terrifying to me and validates me staying away from chess for most of my life. This is from John mm-hmm. Henley at The Guardian. Last week, according to Russian media outlets, a chess playing robot, apparently unsettled by the quick responses of a 7-year-old boy, grabbed and broke his finger during a match at the Moscow Open. And if you see, there's actual video of it happening. This robot is like hovers above the table. It's like this giant metal arm that comes down. It's like fucking terrifying.
I'm looking at it right now and it's not exactly inviting to play with.
No, the robot broke the child's finger, Sergei Lazarev said, president of the Moscow Chess Federation. This is of course bad.
Yeah, I'm watching this right now. It's terrible.
It's fucking terrifying.
That boy is so tiny.
Yes. Video of the July 19th incident shows the boy's finger being pinched by the robot arm for several seconds before a woman and three men rush in, free him, and usher him away. Sergei Smagin, VP of the Russian Chess Federation, said the robot appeared to pounce after it took one of the boy's pieces. Rather than waiting for the machine to complete its move, the boy opted for a quick move, he said. This is where they start to blame the kid. There are certain safety rules and the child violated them. When he made his move, he did not realize he first had to wait. This is an extremely rare case, the first I can recall. So they're blaming the 7-year-old boy for moving too quick for this robot.
He's seven.
Yeah.
The fact that he can play chess, I think, is impressive as it is. We cannot be blaming this young little boy. He's seven.
Yeah. The boy named Christopher was one of the 30 best chess players in the Russian capital in the under nines category. People rushed to help and pulled the finger out, but the fracture could not be avoided. So they literally had to like snap his finger, pulling it free from the robot, which... Oh my God.
Nightmares that this kid is going to have every time he sees a chessboard, anytime he sees a checkered pattern anywhere, he's going to just delve back into this horrible memory.
Yeah. And this, well, speaking of, Lazarev said that Christopher, whose finger was put in a plaster cast, did not seem overly traumatized by the attack. The child played the very next day, finished the tournament, and volunteers helped record the moves. He said he needed volunteers to help write shit down because he couldn't even like, whatever. Mm-hmm. However, his parents seem to disagree. They have contacted the public prosecutor's office and they're trying to figure this out. Others said the incident was a coincidence and that the robot was absolutely safe. I would disagree. This machine can play multiple matches at a time. So it like hovers over the table and you can play, it can play four people at once, basically one move at a time. It had already played three on the day it encountered Christopher. And then performed many times. Apparently, children need to be warned. It happens, said the Russian Chess Federation.
It's not okay.
What the fuck?
That's not a good excuse.
But did you know There was a super olden days chess robot that once whooped Ben Franklin's ass.
I did not. I didn't think they had robots back then.
Yeah. So remember the movie Big?
Yeah, of course.
With the Zoltar machine?
Yes. Yeah.
Picture a giant Zoltar machine, okay, that can play, that has an arm that can reach out, that can play chess. So it was called the Turk, aka Mechanical Turk, and it was a fraudulent chess playing robot machine constructed in the late 18th century from 1770 until it was destroyed by fire in 1854. It went all around the world to big exhibitions and stuff, playing people in chess, this robot. And you're thinking like, oh my God, for the 1700s, that's incredible. They had a robot to play chess. Yeah. But it was an elaborate hoax. Underneath, picture this Zoltar machine, underneath it, they would put actual chess, like some of the best chess players in the world, squatted down in a little box underneath it. And they had like a ton of different little levers. And that is how they would do it. It was a mechanical illusion that allowed a human chess master hiding inside to operate the machine. Turk won most of the games played during its demonstrations around Europe and the Americas for nearly 84 years. And this machine whooped the ass of Napoleon Bonaparte and Benjamin Franklin, among other many famous people throughout its time.
That's pretty crazy. I think it's interesting about Napoleon. I think everybody thinks of Napoleon and they think he was alive like a super long time ago when really he wasn't, he was alive and it wasn't that crazy, but this is definitely scary because robots just, they weren't a thing back then. So this would probably scare a lot of people. And
this
they would
probably
burn
blew people's fucking minds back then.
Yeah.
Like this probably, absolutely. Like, I don't know if Napoleon and Ben Franklin knew there was a person. I would assume they knew there was a person under it, but I don't know.
I don't want
to ruin the magic, but I didn't know that. Neither one got their fingers ripped off by
the Turk, probably a bonus machine. Playing against the Turk.
Side note, I have my top five board games of all time.
Let's hear them.
Number five, Mall Madness. This is dating me, but it was from the early 90s. You could be Gwen, Sage, Avery, or Dax, and you got to use an ATM card to go around this mall.
I remember those commercials. I never played it myself, but was it a fun game?
Yeah, you got to go around and pretend to shop with a debit card, which when you were a kid was like big deal. Number four, Mousetrap. Rube Goldberg, head ass. I don't think we ever really got to the game part. We just had so much fun fucking around with the marble and like making shit drop on the mouse.
Yeah.
Don't Make Daddy, number three. That was where you were a kid trying to sneak to the kitchen for cookies across the board. But if you fucked up, the dad was in this bed that would, he would like shoot up like the Undertaker. You'd fuck your shit up.
Wait, that was an actual game? That wasn't just a Kate made up game?
No, I swear to God, that's a real game. Oh, I remember
it's a real game in life now, too. As you get older and you have children, it becomes an actual real game. So this, I encourage everyone to take part in this.
But I remember your butthole would pucker as a kid if you're about to accidentally hit the thing that would wake up this guy. Monopoly, I remember the fights that me and the neighborhood kids would get in playing this game. Like the first like real, like I fucking hate them of my life
was
over Monopoly. And if you weren't cheating, you weren't trying. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. And then finally Life, the board game Life, where you get the little vehicle and you go around and like it plans out your life for you. I made Pat play this game with me once in the park and then I got pregnant. ended up having life together. That's a weird thing to say out loud. Cons, some of your favorite board games, Vineyard Vines Madness.
Mm-hmm.
Enlisted Trap.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Let Father Catch You Nibbling the Caviar. And Loaferopoly.
You nailed them. Those were my top four growing up.
They're great board games.
Yeah, fantastic board games. Yes.
Hmm.
We also used to play, I don't like to admit this now, I played a lot of Battleship growing up.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a Navy game, but I did play a lot of Battleship. We played Sorry and Trouble and a lot of Hungry Hungry Hippos. Hungry Hungry Hippos would get violent because you would just start smashing that thing.
You would
and the hippo just trying to get those balls.
I saw on TikTok, there's a party version of Battleship now where you take like a badminton court and you just put up blankets so you can't see the other side of the badminton court. And you and your buddies line up in like ships of three and four and five. And you all have water balloons. And if you get hit, you have to drink. Kind of thing. If they give you the sink, you have to drink type thing. So
yeah.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
Speaking of where you wind up living, this story, round number two, Special Forces daycare. And at first it sounds like a daycare where they turn little kids into Special Forces, which would be fucking sick.
It'd be very cool if we could.
That's not actually the case. And before we would get into it, I was just thinking, I'm coming up on 1 year of sending my son to daycare.
What's your experience been overall?
Dude, oh,
good,
man.
Bad, the ugly.
Well, it's so fucking stressful because I live on TikTok at night. I just turn my brain off like a zombie and I go through TikTok and the algorithm, it's like, oh, she's a new mom. All the algorithm starts to show you the most horrifying shit possible that can like,
oh, perfect.
It's like, here's terrible stories from daycare. It's just like nothing but horrible things that can happen at a bad daycare and blah, blah, blah. And you get so I'm a new mom back last year because I sent him August 1st was like his first time going. And I'm just seeing all these horror stories and I'm like, oh my God, did I pick the right place? Blah, blah, blah. The day that I dropped him off for the first time, because he was like 4 months old, like he couldn't even, they can't sit up yet. They can't like do much of anything. There's a picture of me that Pat took, like I have him in the stroller at the door and I just have tears streaming down my face. And as we walked away, I'm like, am I doing the right thing? I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
you start to wonder if you're a bad mom.
You start to think, and like, I was so upset. And then I get on the train to work and I'm sipping my coffee and it's the first time I've had to myself. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of fucking sick.
Kind of sweet. But that's so nerve-wracking. You're this person that you love and you're responsible for raising.
You're everything. Yeah.
You're everything. And you're like, hey, stranger.
What a wild concept, is it not?
It is. I think it's beyond crazy that we do this in this country.
So,
but I get why it's necessary.
And then like, so this daycare that I sent him to has an app that I check it more than Twitter, more than Instagram all day long, especially when I first sent him. I'm like, what are they doing now? What are they doing now? What are they doing now? And it's just like, I'm become obsessed with it. But truly, if it wasn't for the daycare, because I held off on sending him at first, I tried to do a month to see if I could work from home with him.
Right.
This job, like blogging, podcasting, like you could maybe figure it out. And I thought like, how hard could it be to get work done with a baby around? It's not like he's even crawling or moving yet. It was fucking impossible.
Yeah.
Like it was impossible. I can't like, the second I hear him fussing or crying, like your instinct is to like, I must go to him and make him happy no matter what. And that's all day long with a baby or a toddler or a kid. Like there's literally
they're nonstop.
And once they start moving, they're like a injury seeking missile. All they want to do is put their finger in the sockets, put the plug in their mouth, open up whatever drawer, like slam their finger. Like there is not a single people look at maternity leave. Like, oh, that must be nice. It was the least relaxed I've ever been in my entire life.
It's pure hell.
It was pure. It was magical, but it was also like the most I've ever worked in my entire life, really. So
I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't even go to the bathroom by myself now.
Yeah,
she comes in with me. She's like, "You need help." I was like, "I don't," but I guess I can't go to the bathroom unless you come in with me. So she just stares at me now. That's
and like, oh, I'm really and Khan's like, I know you help your friend watch his toddler sometimes, and like you know, it's you can't turn.
Well,
away
yeah,
from
once
in a
they
second.
Start. Once they start moving, they have the attention span of maybe 5-10 minutes where they'll watch something on a screen and then they're moving around and everything is something, right? Everything is they're curious about. So like that's a doorknob that could occupy them for 5 minutes. And then oh, there's your bookshelf that I can pull these books off of for the next 10 minutes. And I've been around Cash. Kid's not, he's all over the place. And as well, he should, he's a curious little toddler. So I completely understand. So I don't
know. He's probably got ADD like his mom. So some slight issues going on, but
you could not work from home with him. Yeah.
Yeah. There's no, like, it is nearly impossible to work from home with you. It is very, very, very difficult. And it is already really difficult for military spouses to work and find time for themselves. Cause how can you keep a job when you're moving every couple of years? And your network is always breaking up and like, as you all shift and move and blah, blah, blah. On top of that, it's hard enough with a partner when your partner is always deploying or away in training, you're by yourself with the kids. And that's incredibly difficult. So I think that childcare is one of the most important fucking things that they could possibly have available for these troops. Like, they deserve it. They earned it. Like, they're doing so much for this country. You deserve it. Well, that's a fucking problem down at a tiny little base, Camp Bull Simons, in the panhandle of Florida. And there's a lot to this, but basically it's gotten so bad that members of Congress, a bunch of people on the base and former commanders of the base have written letters now to members of Congress being like, we don't know what else to do. Somebody has to fucking help us here. It's the 7th Special Forces Group. Ever since 2002, they've been deploying nonstop to Afghanistan. Like, so a lot of, and as a parent too, like, it's hard to focus on the mission when you're wondering, is my spouse okay? Are they overwhelmed? Are my kids okay? Are they at, like, do they have education? And that's not happening here. Basically, it's a base of about 3,000 service members and civilians. And there's about 450 kids from this camp. I'm calling it Camp BS, Camp Bull Simons area, that do not have any childcare at all available to them unless they want to do about 2 hours round trip of travel time each day to the larger base down south. And if they wanted to go to the larger base that's south of them, there is a, I think it's like a 4-year wait. So unless you're really family planning and know you're going to have a kid 4 or 5 years from now. So this Colonel Robert Connell, he was a former deputy commander of 7th Special Forces Group. It was back in 2016 when he learned that there was no childcare or like CDC access. And he was like, he's been sending letters to Congress. He's been working with the family groups there to try and figure it out. And one of his big complaints was this base was like what they put out there when you're moving along in your career. If you come to this next base, everything's going to be taken care of. We have XYZ, we have childcare. So these things were being promised to the troops that then they move their whole families there and there's no childcare. It's like, what a punch in the gut that is. Mm-hmm. Though Green Beret families have repeatedly raised the issue, the base's leadership has responded with repeated promises and inadequate solutions for over 6 years. With no other options, Connell turned to Congress in the hopes that legislation can fix the issue. And he finally found a sympathetic audience. When we fail to deliver for our service members, lethality declines, quality of life drops, morale plummets, and retention rates fall, Marco Rubio and Scott wrote.
Senator Rick Scott wrote.
Furthermore, we have recently learned of the alarming decline in recruitment, which is to be expected when the DOD continues to fail service members. And we were just talking last week, like, the Army is not going to meet, they're going to be like 30,000 service members short of their personnel goals in the next 11 weeks. And who the fuck wants to join or stay in when you see how these troops are being treated? Like, these special forces guys are some of the hardest working, highest training, most deployed, and their families are not getting cared for.
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Not to mention the amount of time and effort and money spent to train these individuals. They're not just like, hey, we just showed up. You know, there's years of training before you're going to be admitted to one of these units. So you're taking one of your most valuable assets, these soldiers, and you're just basically saying, sorry, we can't figure this out for you. And it's crazy to me because, don't get me wrong, I appreciate what goes into having a daycare. You know, all the different technology that you're talking about now with the different apps and the things that you probably are required to have to function as a daycare. But I have to imagine there's a building somewhere on this base that they could convert into a daycare if they really wanted to. And, well, and they got the funds necessary. Maybe that's a bridge too far for our military.
Here's the problem, Cons. Here's why they're saying they won't build that on Camp Simons.
Okay.
There's a bombing range near the installation where the 96th test wing experiments with advanced munitions. So okay. it's near, but again, there is a bombing range near the camp, not even on near it. And, but one of the retired special forces officers that used to be there, Colonel Stu Braden, said the range is rarely used and that Camp Simons has barracks, a chapel, and a shopette where soldiers and their families regularly hang out. Mm-hmm. So the base is using this range as an excuse, but everybody there is like, well, we already hang out around here all the time with our kids. So what's the fucking problem? Why can't you build something right off base or
right
change?
Next door? Yeah.
Yeah. So he is only a military colonel could put it so eloquently. It is complete bullshit about not allowing anything in the range area, Braden said. It's a tough spot for families at Camp Simons. as evidenced by the more than 500 service and family members who showed up to a video teleconference held by an action group earlier this year. When you can get people after this COVID pandemic, when you can get people to still join a Zoom, mm-hmm. over 500 people, they give a fuck about something. Yeah. They're fucking pissed. Mm-hmm. He said, I have met and heard hundreds of stories about these younger enlisted having to make financial and career decisions due to a lack of a CDC. Like, so maybe I want to stay in, but it is like, people don't talk about how, when you have young kids, how hard that is on marriages and partnerships and your career. Yeah.
Not to mention this deployment schedule. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head. I'm almost certain though that the special forces community has the highest divorce rate because of the deployment schedules.
Do I want my, and like you do, like I know when Cash was really little and Pat was working, he had this movie coming out, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He helps manage that brand and blah, blah, blah. And he was really busy. And I like it, the bulk of it was falling on me. And I like got really resentful. And it was like, I can't do my stuff. I can't do my job because I'm mm-hmm. with them all the time, blah, blah, blah. And like, it really strains shit. And then it's hard to focus on your own job when you're angry inside and blah, blah, blah. Like, and as like a leader, you know, like the personal lives of your troops always yep. bleeds over into their work.
It absolutely affects their mental state.
It and if they're manifests not focused in one way or another, and they have to be. So like, this seems like maybe a silly story about daycare, but like,
it's not.
It's a huge fucking deal.
And when you think about it, you don't have to be, you know, really deep into the military world to know that the missions that these guys are going on, they need to be mentally very focused. So if they're worried about their childcare at home when they're deployed halfway across the world somewhere and they can't actually do much because they're not there, that is just wrecking them mentally. So this needs to be fixed. And also, like, you know what? If you're going to give me these excuses and you can't fix it, well, then move this unit to a different base.
Figure it out. Like, now that's what I hope in December when they have to answer to the Armed Services Committee in DC. Yeah. Like, I hope that they present them with like an ultimatum, like fix it now. Cause some of the options they floated, we're going to build a mega center at this base that's south of here, but that would be a 2-hour round trip. Mm. It still wouldn't be enough for all the 450 something kids that have no childcare during the day. It's crazy. So I can see people dreading wanting to go there. And these are our special forces. Like, they're the ones definitely putting themselves on the line. Like,
yeah,
fucking that's figure it out. There's no more like end to the story really, except fucking figure it out. God yep. damn it. Can't bull mm-hmm. Simons. Mm-hmm. I'm sure ZBT will be the difference maker there. You hear what ZBT said? We better fix it and get a daycare right away. Anyway, moving on to round number three. And yeah, this one is, I first saw posts on, you know, there's a lot of huge military meme pages and there's a lot of big military Facebook groups. And I kind of lurk in all of these to kind of get the pulse of what's going on around the military. And this story was making huge waves and we'll dive into it. But round number three, a woman who was brutally stabbed to death off the H3 freeway in Hawaii on Wednesday night has been officially identified by the medical examiner as 27-year-old Dana Alotaibi of Virginia. And I'm sorry if I'm saying her name wrong here. Alotaibi's mother, Natalie Cespedes, said her daughter sent her pictures and messages documenting abuse from her husband, Bryant Tejada Castillo, an active duty Marine stationed in Kanoe Bay. Had military officials acted on repeated requests for help, she believes her daughter would still be alive. The Honolulu Police Department confirms that Tejada Castillo has been charged with second-degree murder and his bail is set at $1 million. She had posted several videos and messages on her social media accounts talking about her abusive relationship, claiming her husband hit her, pulled her hair, choked her, cheated on her, and threatened to kill her. A YouTube video posted in January shows her sobbing on the phone with the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, claiming the military did nothing after she reported multiple cases of violence and infidelity. It's haunting me, like all the incidents that he's hit me and done horrible things to me, she told the hotline responder. Even when I reached out for help, like nothing was done at all. And I'm thinking like, what can I do? Why is he so untouchable? Why isn't he getting jail time? Why isn't he getting demoted in rank? Why isn't he kicked out? She said on the call. Alotaibi's mother said she advised her daughter to report Tejada Castillo to his command and police. She sent me a picture with all these bruises all over her body, Cespedes says, adding that Alotaibi was brave to speak out. She said she was able to get a no contact order on her husband, the military's version of a restraining order, But Cespedes says she's disappointed more wasn't done to protect her. Probably because she's a woman, they don't care. Or she looked crazy, they don't care, Cespedes said. Now that her daughter is gone, Cespedes said she is feeling the same helplessness as she tries to get answers from the military about what happened. I feel like nobody wants to help. Nobody wants to say nothing. Probably if I go there, they will help. She's flying from Virginia to Honolulu on Saturday. I cannot stay here waiting. I have to go there and bring my daughter home, she said. And she, from the pages I was looking at, her, the mother is there with Ella Tybee's sister. Mm-hmm. And they had a wake of sorts by the ocean last night, and people brought sunflowers, her favorite flowers, and Marines that I was following on one of the pages got a meal train going for the family and are trying to help them out financially while they're there. There's a GoFundMe. Those who knew the victim also reportedly said she was pregnant, though police have declined to confirm. They're waiting on autopsy results. Loved ones and victims advocates hope Ella Tybee's death can be, and I'm so sorry if I'm fucking that name up, can be a wake up call to urge victims to reach out to civilian resources as well as the military system. And I just, this story, I went back through, I kind of went down a rabbit hole, and I was looking at her posts and countless videos that she posted on her TikTok and on her Instagram. There was one where she's saying, this is like her speaking into the camera. In September 2021, my husband threatened to kill me. I reported it. An investigation was done. There was a no contact order put in place for protection. And so then she was still, he had deployed to Okinawa, apparently, where he was cheating on her. He made a Tinder. And so then young relationship, she makes a Tinder then to get back at him. He's messaging like, oh, okay, when I get back, I'm going to kill you, blah, blah, blah type thing. And she documented on the videos, like he's coming back soon with an emoji of like her getting beat kind of thing. And she then had to, since he couldn't contact her, she was still living in the house in Hawaii. And so the first sergeant became their go-between. So she's like, when am I supposed to move out of this house by? I have these two dogs. I have nowhere else to go. And she was claiming that the first sergeant wasn't helpful at all, usually wouldn't respond to her. She was left in the dark. And then one day would reach out and be like, oh, you have to be out like next week kind of thing. Like she kept trying to get help through the military and figure out what's next, because she's not from there. She's on this island alone with a spouse who's threatening to kill her, like an estranged spouse threatening to kill her. And she was kind of claims to be left in the dark by his Marine Corps leadership. And again, like, what is happening when you have super documented proof that one of your Marines is threatening to harm their spouse and they don't, you get a no contact order, but nothing is done to them. Like they're not like,
yeah.
An NJP isn't enough. You know what I mean? No. Like there must be more done. You shouldn't be a Marine if you're doing that, quite frankly. If right. There's proof of that, you're fucking done. Like,
yeah. This is just incredibly, incredibly sad. And I think part of the problem is just the construct of our military and the responsibility that we place on leadership. Not everybody, and I would say there are very few people who are qualified to do relationship counseling, but you're responsible for your soldier. So in this case, this first sergeant is responsible for his Marine who's dealing with problems at home and needs to be counseled and needs to be held accountable for all these actions. And he might not be the right person to be handling that situation. He might be a great first sergeant, but I think relationships are a whole different animal. Like at one point I was 23 years old. I had a soldier that got cheated on and his wife depleted their bank account. And you're asking, and ultimately, you know, it falls on me, 23-year-old platoon leader to
right, you're not qualified handle this. To deal with that situation.
It's I'm not a relation. Above. People go to school and training for years to be a relationship counselor. I was not qualified to do that, but it was put on me. And, you know, I had to figure out what to do. And I, you know, I took it up the chain of command to get help. But the same situation is going on here where you're asking this first sergeant to deal with this stuff. Now, on top of that, this woman posting these videos that she's in this horrible situation and nobody did anything. What's going on there? Like, I wonder almost if people thought like, oh, how bad could it be if she's actually posting this stuff publicly? But it's this weird dichotomy of I'm putting it online to bring awareness, but also I'm using emojis. So is it really that serious? I don't know. It's,
well, we see it time and time again where the time and time again where women have been taking to social media as their last straw for a cry, their last cry for help when the service is not helping them, when they really need it. And I think too, like, obviously this would be more than relationship counseling. Like, he needs this guy. The proof was there. This guy needs to be fucking gone. But I think
him in the Marines.
It's making big waves on social media in the military world right now, because it was clearly a very toxic relationship, like young enlisted, in a way that young enlisted seem to be. I mean, there's a lot of messes out there, but everybody on some of the pages, some of the more toxic military pages, were immediately blaming her. And like her mom said, she said, I bet they looked at her as, oh, she's just crazy because she posted this and that and blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry. Nobody deserves to be stabbed to death on the side of a highway. I don't give a fuck what you post. I don't care if you have sexy videos or an OnlyFans or whatever. I don't give a fuck. Nobody deserves, like, and I can't believe you even have to say that out loud.
Right.
Like, first and foremost, nobody deserves to be murdered. And second, like, the signs were so clearly there that this was heading towards something horrible, that this is a huge failure, failure by that command.
And I don't know, maybe you take this as a military wide and you start to maybe train leadership on how to deal with this sort of situation, not to the extent that a professional would know, but maybe something to cover this, because the reality of it is, because of the way our military is structured, younger enlisted are going to get into relationships and marriages sometimes, not because they really want to, but because they feel like they have to get more money or to maybe live off post. And you think like, oh, well, that's a silly reason to get married. But that's what people in the military do when they're lower enlisted. So if
I wouldn't do a blanket. I think that's kind of a trope that a lot of, but no, okay. We're just as, yeah. And I think that's like sometimes, but it really is like the, yeah, I don't want to like speculate or get into any of that with this particular story, but like,
oh, I'm not,
most of us are very genuine and very heartfelt about, you know, like, it's just the same as an officer, but like, I just,
sorry, maybe because the soldier that I mentioned, he got married to, because he was going to make more money while deployed.
Yeah.
So that's my frame of reference, situations like that. I'm not saying that some relationships aren't for the right reasons and because they actually genuinely want to be in a relationship, but you know, I think maybe the military as a whole needs to introduce some sort of training where they say, hey, if this is what's happening with one of your soldiers, Marines, whatever, in their relationship at home, here's how to deal with it.
I think it's not training. I think like, cause they know right and wrong. Like, this guy was wrong the whole way through. The command could easily see he was fucking wrong the whole way through. I think the issue is with how it's handled. And it's the same as how they finally moved sexual assault cases. You don't have to report it up your command anymore. Like, that was so far overdue because the commands don't fucking know how to deal with it correctly. Same thing here for domestic cases. Like, I don't think the commands should have anything to do with it because clearly they're bungling it. And I think they need to figure out a better way to deal with these situations because nobody should have their life ended that
way. Like, so, just like certain investigations are taken out of the current, the actual unit so that there's no bias, a situation like this, same thing. You should take it out of that chain of command's hands and allow it to be handled by an outside unit.
Yeah. Well, I hope justice is served. It's a shame that it came to that. And just, if you're, check out these military meme pages. It's pretty much on every page that I've been looking at. This story has been popping up and the comments are just, it's like, oh yeah, we need a good pulse check on what's going on in the military. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. Can we get a little, yacht rock sound before we move on to the next here? All right. I don't know if anybody here follows me on social media, but I have been strutting up and down the mountains with my son and my pack. I've been going on hikes recently. And I feel like that's my new, like, that's my version of CrossFit or marathon run. Like, I can't shut the fuck up about it. I'm like, you see, I went hiking this weekend. You see me and my baby went out hiking. We blah, blah, blah.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequilacation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
How much extra weight are you rocking with there when you got old Cash in that harness?
Yeah, well, he weighs like 25 pounds. And then I have enough water for the both of us. And then snacks and diapers and diaper cream, because you never know.
So what are you like looking at, like 40 pounds?
I'm probably like, yeah, probably around 40 pounds. Something like that. Sick brag. Sick brag.
No big deal. Nick, you're not the only one getting workouts in. Nick likes to like peacock, like he's the only one who cares about himself on this show.
I didn't say that. Kyle did. Kyle said that actually. I did not say that. I just put the workouts up there just in case anyone wants to take part in the suck. I'm a big fan of it.
I will say I've recently convinced myself I have Lyme's disease. So
wait, what?
I have convinced myself. I've like, because I've been going out and on these hikes. A couple of weeks ago, I started getting migraines.
Okay.
I cannot get rid of them now. And like, I'm the lucky kind of person who takes a couple of Tylenol and it always goes away. I'm usually fine. The Tylenol, aspirin, nothing is making a dent in these migraines. They're there like 24/7 almost. And then my muscles started killing me. Like my arms, it hurts to move my wrists and it hurts to walk because my feet joints and my muscles are sore. And I tweeted this out. I'm like, does anybody know what this is? And of course I got like 300 answers. Most of them were like, you're just old, bitch. But somebody was
Of Lyme disease, fever, headache, fatigue, skin
and
rash.
And so I've been feeling like something is definitely, you know, when something's like off with you.
Sure.
And I wouldn't be surprised because I didn't realize, like, I thought they say you get the bite and this like bullseye appears. I thought that happened like right away. It can take, you can get the symptoms first and then see that and be like, oh.
Well, do you do active tick checks during your hikes and stuff?
I'd like to check you for ticks. I know. I like that song. But yes, I try to, but you never know. Like they can be so fucking small. And I thought too, to get Lyme's disease, they had to like really burrow in, but they don't. Like you can get it just if they like chomp on you for a little bit. So
sure.
I've convinced
myself. Maybe
get
that checked out. Maybe
it's either that or I have full-blown spinal cancer. I don't know, guys. I don't.
Yeah.
Been doing some health Googling and I've convinced myself it's one of those two things. Question. Round number four.
Yes.
Given the opportunity, the Space Force reaches out to you. Cons, we have an extra spot on our rocket next week. We're going up for just 24 hours. We don't, the technology's still a little wonky. We don't know if you're going to make it back, but do you want to come along for the ride? Your odds are good.
I feel like technology's good. We put men into space how many years now? I'd go. I think we're far enough along that I'd feel comfortable doing that. Absolutely. I mean, how many people get to go to space? Not many. So I'm going.
That's true. Also, you don't have kids yet. So your life is not as valuable as mine. Exactly. I'd probably say no, I have more value. but you go ahead. You by all means head on up there.
You're right. Yeah. Alex would definitely send me.
Yeah. Just don't nut while you're there, cons.
Got it. All right.
Yeah. Round number four, space nut is what I have. This comes to us from the very highly regaled Irish Mirror, UK, which is
sure.
I think that's like one of those gossip rags, but whatever. Astronauts have been warned not to play with their rockets in space. They're talking about your meaty cocks. So they don't get crewmates pregnant. Self-pleasuring is banned in zero G amid fears of any floating semen that could leave female colleagues up the duff, as they say in Ireland.
Yes.
The bizarre revelation came on the US chat show, King Conan O'Brien's Needs a Friend podcast. During the recording, Conan asked a NASA engineer if he had ever sent porn to the International Space Station. The NASA engineer, identified only as Smith, told him, no, none of that. O'Brien went on, does porn work in zero gravity? It goes everywhere. Smith told him, three female astronauts can be impregnated by the same man on the same session if it finds its way.
Life.
So, I guess the theory is that if a guy jerks off in space, the sperm goes everywhere. And now I don't know how it would, I don't know if these guys have ever seen a vagina.
No.
It's not just, there's more to it. It's more of a, you gotta.
Yeah, we don't need to go into full-blown sex ed.
I'm pulling things apart with my hands right now. You gotta really.
I think you understand Inception works, but Inception.
There's a seal there. It's called flaps.
Conception. That's the word I was looking for. Right. Sorry. This is kind of like those stories you would hear in middle school that were just like completely not true, that we all just accepted.
If you come in a hot, if there's come in a hot tub and you sit in the hot tub, you could get, but so the crux of this is, though, as we are starting to look at future moon and Mars missions, and there is talk about like colonies on Mars and this and that, studying sex in space is a real thing that they're going to have to start looking more and more into. NASA is actually getting ready to look at how sex in space might work. I would say cowgirl and reverse cowgirl going to get a lot easier for us ladies. No more gravity.
Yeah.
No gravity.
I think
no more legs burning. Telling yourself, oh, I'm so out of shape right now. Instead of focusing on the good stuff.
But then would it also be jiggling? Would it be more challenging because you're kind of just like floating all over the place?
In my brain, I imagine a Velcro, some sort of Velcro.
Some sort of
system,
Velcro apparatus.
Some sort of where we're both Velcroed to a stable area. Talking about Pat, of course, my baby dad, not Viggo Mortensen. Anyway, academics from Concordia.
Viggo Mortensen? I was unaware of that about you.
Oh, man. If you ever see the movie Eastern Promises, this is a deep cut. There is a scene in a bathhouse where he's sitting in the steam room and these dudes come in and try and kill him and the towel flies off. And the camera angle, you just see this shadow swinging across the screen, but you know it's... Academics from Concordia University in Montreal, Canada say such research is essential to the success of deep space missions and building off-world settlements. Who's volunteering for that, for the sex in space study?
Probably a lot of people, because I bet you that pays pretty well. No. I gotta imagine any study in space, if you're just a regular Joe Blow civilian, they gotta pony up the checks for that.
Well, I don't know if this is true, and this article is super old, but back in 2010, NASA, if this is a NASA report cited by, it was proved to be a hoax. Never mind. This story, US and Russian astronauts have had sex in space for separate research programs. Turns out this is fake. It was a French scientific writer, a respected French scientific writer, I guess, wrote all this stuff, but issue. Anyway, damn, I got my hopes up for that. I really thought that was going to be a thing. But for now, I guess don't whack off in space if you should get the opportunity. Though I feel like if you do get the opportunity, it's one you kind of want to take. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways,
definitely.
Yeah. I don't know, guys. They'd message me and be like, you suck. Bring Chaps back. Let me know how I did. That's the episode for today. I don't know.
I think you're a little too hard on yourself. You're a person who's very hard on themselves while also being a hypochondriac.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Do you have any saved rounds? Saved rounds?
Yes,
alibis?
I do. Yes. Oh, saved rounds presented by Whistle Pig Whiskey. Number one, I forgot to mention the gentleman that came over, my father-in-law's friend, Bob, when he came over, we got to talking. Vietnam vet. 2 Purple Hearts, Marine. So, Bob, thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Very nice man. Very nice man. So something happened last week, Kate, with you on, well, not you specifically, but on the ACK when they were doing that, the weird auction. And well,
yeah, we do. So we, for anybody who listens to ZBT, but it's not a big bar supplier, every day at 1 p.m., there's a show called The ACK that goes live on YouTube. Give like and subscribe that too, as well as the Zero Block 30 YouTube. But yes, we had an auction. Go ahead.
And one of the items that was auctioned off, we have a colleague. Some of you know him as Rico Bosco, others know him as Terry. Nevertheless, he threw a high noon can at another colleague of ours, and at which he was suspended for that incident, and he served his suspension. But they auctioned off the dented high noon can, which I thought was very tongue-in-cheek, very funny, but it reminded me when I was in Iraq, I switched units. I think maybe I've told this story, but if you're new, you've never heard it. I switched units mid-deployment to switch jobs from being a platoon leader to a fire support officer and intelligence officer. So I went to a completely new unit, and the unit that I had shown up to, their first sergeant had been attacked. Remember those really big flashlights, what we call the mag lights?
Oh, yeah. Moon beams.
Yes.
Get it right.
He got attacked by a soldier with one of those mag lights and like hit over the head with it during an altercation. He was obviously dealt with. But so that fall, that November, we had our Turkey Bowl, and the MVP trophy was a mag light. And you can assume who won the MVP at the Turkey Bowl. Yes, it was me. Thank you very much.
If you can't laugh,
that was funny. Yeah.
You can't laugh at yourself a little bit and have fun. Yeah. With you know,
that's basically my point. It's like, I think that was kind of funny that they kind of leaned into that. There's like, hey, here's the dented can from that incident. So
yeah,
just thought that was funny.
Can. By the way, on the auction sold I painted my earmuffs cons. I painted my tits with watercolor paint, and then I smashed them onto a piece of paper. And then I used colored pencil to point out where my nips were and some other curvatures. And then I signed it. It was a 1-1 Kate's tits. And guess how much it sold for?
It's going to be something astronomically high, like $100.
$500.
Wow. That's awesome.
I know.
That's awesome. Oh, speaking of money.
I'm thinking about selling my dirty hands. Go ahead.
Art is in the eye of the beholder. So you'd be... Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can sell all sorts of stuff and call it art. Yeah. I was talking to Chaps. If you're listening to this on Tuesday, July 26th, it's Chaps's birthday. So reach out, say happy birthday. Mm-hmm. Chaps, though, being the selfless individual that he is, he knows I just got married. You know, we're looking to start our lives together. For Chaps's 40th birthday, he wants everybody to Venmo me a gift of the amount that they deem necessary at Captain Cons on Venmo. That's what he said would make him the most happy, if he was able to give me a large sum of money to really kick my life off in the right direction. So
I don't think that's true, but I will tell you this much. One of the things he does want for his birthday right now, we have a special ZBT support veterans t-shirt. It's a great design. It comes in all the military colors. Nice, super soft shirt, American flag on the sleeve, and it supports Patrol Base Abate, PB Abate, return to base. It honors the legacy of Sergeant Matthew Abate by providing warriors space to recalibrate inside the wire and out in nature, and it gives them a community to thrive. So learn more about PB Abate, Google and look it up. It's a wonderful organization. We talked about them last week, but that shirt is live
awesome
in the store.
Yes. Very cool t-shirt.
Very cool shirt
right now.
Yeah. So love it. Check it out. And I don't have any other safe rounds today, I don't think.
No,
Nick,
ma'am.
You got anything?
I don't got anything. I just want to say for Whistlepig, it's been my go-to when bedtime routine is a little tough.
Mm-hmm. You just give G a little Whistlepig?
No, you all. Yeah, maybe we'll get there soon. But I go to Whistlepig, and it makes it a lot more enjoyable than it was than it is originally. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got.
Some cubes, have a sip. I'm going to say it. Sound that a treat.